tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah. Wassalatu wassalamu alayki ya Habiballah. Wassalatu wassalamu alayki ya Nabiyallah. وَعَلَىٰ أَلِكَ وَأَصْحَابِكَ يَا نُورَ اللَّهِ Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. Alhamdulillah, in today's episode and program, we are going to discuss unwavering faith in Allah Azza wa Jal. SubhanAllah. From time to time, we need to refresh our iman and have this trust and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our faith is more and more instilled in our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the unshakable faith and unwavering trust and reliance upon Allah azza wa jal. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Before that, let's inshallah azza wa jal first and foremost recite Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the Day of Judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, once again, we are in the company of our esteemed guest, Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizahullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Sayyidi?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. How are you keeping, Maulana Sayyid?
Alhamdulillah. It's so good to have you back again.
Barakallah, Maulana Sayyid. Always a pleasure to be here.
Alhamdulillah, likewise. MashaAllah, Sidi, we are discussing today the unwavering faith in Allah Azza wa Jal. I mean, this faith, subhanAllah, can take a person from way to way. Mm-hmm. In this regard, there is a beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and it is narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that a man of Bani Israel asked another Israelite to lend him 1,000 dinars. And the second person, he required witness. But you know, before I lend you the money, I need somebody as a witness to stand witness. What if, you know, something happens? So the first person, the former replied, Allah is sufficient as a witness. SubhanAllah. Look at his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the second person said, I want guarantee, I want surety. So the former replied that Allah is sufficient as a guarantee, as an assurance. The second person said, you are right. And then he lent him the money for a certain period of time. So this money was lent to him on the promise that he will return that money after a period of time has passed. So the debtor went across the sea. When he finished his job, he searched for a conveyance so that he might reach in time for the repayment of the debt. But he could not find any mode of conveyance. So he took a piece of wood and he made a hole in it and inserted 1,000 dinars inside the wood. And he also inserted a letter to the creditor and then closed the wood and sealed the wood. After sealing the wood tightly and making it waterproof in a sort of way, he took the piece of wood to the sea and said, O Allah, you know well that I took a loan of 1,000 dinars from so-and-so. He demanded a guarantee from me, but I told him that Allah's guarantee was sufficient and he accepted your guarantee. He then asked for a witness and I told him that Allah was sufficient as a witness and he accepted you as a witness. No doubt I tried hard to find a conveyance so that I could pay back his money, but I could not find. So I hand over this money in your care, Ya Allah. Saying that, he threw the piece of wood into the sea till it went far out into the ocean and then he went away. Meanwhile, He started searching for a conveyance in order to reach the creditor's country. And one day, the lender came out to his house to see whether a ship had arrived bringing his money. And all of a sudden, he saw the piece of wood in which his money had been deposited and delivered. Subhanallah. He took it home to use for fire. When he cut the wood with a saw, he found his money and the letter inside it. Shortly after that, the debtor came bringing 1,000 dinars to him and said, "By Allah, I've been trying hard to get a ship so that I could bring you your money, but failed to get one before the one I have come by." And then the lender asked, "Have you sent something to me?" The debtor replied, "I've told you that I could not get a boat other than the one I have come with." So the lender said, "Allah has delivered on your behalf the money you sent in the piece of wood. So you may keep your 1,000 dinars and you can leave being guided on the right path." Subhanallah. Look at how everything comes together when we place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
When we have this unwavering faith in Allah azza wa jalla. Subhanallah. This hadith Sayyidi is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, and Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he has mentioned this parable at 7 different occasions with different wordings in his book. Subhanallah. Now this is so instrumental in instilling our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our trust and reliance upon Allah azza wa jal. And this also proves the immense trust that this person had on Allah azza wa jal. At the same time, even the creditor was a person who had placed his trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So both sides, people, they placed their trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at the barakah.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. Therefore, the result of the pure reliance was clearly seen by both parties. Subhanallah. So this is the barakah of having placed our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll never be let down.
No, also even if someone is in a tight situation, yes, and they don't know what to do apparently, not simply placing your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will open so many other doors, provided that of course the person now, he remains patient, he remains content with the situation that he is in, and obviously he makes efforts, etc. But the main crux is that he places his trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, there was a very interesting story in the time of Bani Israel. There was a pious person, and this person, he had a young son, and together with that, he also had a calf, a female calf that he had in his property, that it belonged to him. So what this pious person did was, just before he could die, he took his calf and he went into the jungle and he left his calf there, saying, "Oh Allah, I keep this calf under your protection until my son reaches puberty, until he becomes baligh. Until that time, I place this calf under your protection." So time passed by and the calf eventually grew up to become a cow, and also that young boy, that young son of his, he grew up and he passed the age of puberty, he became baligh, and he also was very obedient to his mother. When he became baligh, his mother told him that, "Oh my son, your father has left an inheritance for you, and that is a cow. So he left it at such and such place. Go there, and when you go there, then say that, 'Oh Rabb of Ibrahim, Ismail, and Ishaq, alayhi wasalatu wasalam, return me that which my father has left behind for me.'" So his son, he was very pious as well. He grew up to be a pious person. He was such that he would divide his nights into three parts. One part he would divide it to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One part he would divide it for him to sleep. And the other part he would divide it in order to serve his mother. Likewise, every day, like father, like son, subhanallah. Likewise, every single day he would go towards the jungle to collect wood. And that wood he would come back to the marketplace and he would sell that. From the earnings that he would get, he would give out sadaqah from that. He would keep some for himself. And he would spend on his mother as well. So we see he had very good tarbiyah, very good upbringing. And when he heard this from his mother that my father left inheritance for me, and that is a cow. So he goes to that place. And when he mentions these words that, O Rabb of Ibrahim, Ismail and Ishaq alayhi wasallatu wasalam, return me that which my father has left behind. Immediately he sees a cow coming towards him. So the cow came. When he saw it, he recognized the qualities his mother told him about the cow. He noticed, okay, that this is the cow. So he took that cow and he went home to his mother. When he went home, his mother told him, of course, now the father passed away and they were poor. You know, he would go and sell wood. I mean, in those days, how much would you sell wood for? And they were coming from a poor background. So his mother tells him that go to the marketplace and sell this cow for 3 dinars. So he goes to the marketplace with this cow. And it so happened, an individual came to him, and this was actually an angel that came to him in the form of a human being and told him that, you know what, I will buy this cow from you for more than 3 dinars. And at that time, the usual price for a cow to sell was 3 dinars. So this angel in the form of a human being is saying that, sell me this cow, I'll buy it from you for more than 3 dinars on condition that you do not consult your mother about it. So the boy says that no matter what you offer me, he doesn't know it's an angel.
Yes.
So he says that no matter what you can offer me, whether it be thousands, no matter what the price may be, I will not sell the cow for more than 3 dinars without going back first and consulting my mother. So he goes back to his mother. He tells his mother all what had transpired. And his mother says that perhaps this could have been an angel. So his mother tells him that go back to the marketplace, and you, when you see this individual again, then ask him, take his consultation, whether we should sell this cow or not. So this young boy, he goes towards the marketplace, and the angel in the form of a human being comes to him and he asks him to tell me, should I sell this cow or not? So the angel says that, do not sell it now. Wait, just wait for some time. In the future, people, they would pay even more than this. They would pay even more than this. So he says, okay. He waited and waited. It so happened that an incident occurred. And that incident was that someone got killed. And his family members wanted to find out who killed my relative. So they went to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, hearing what they had to say, told them that, see, go and get a certain cow. And when you find this cow, then either take its tongue or the bone of its tail and strike that dead person. He will come back to life and he will inform you who the killer was. So these people of Bani Israel, they started to ask questions.
No, they were very interesting people.
Very, very interesting people. They wanted to make the cow more yellow. And so they asked about its color. And the Holy Quran, it documents all of this here. What things they asked, some things that were unnecessary. Even they asked all of that. They kept on asking questions upon questions upon questions about every single detail of the cow. Imagine Musa alayhi salam told them to just go and, you know, look for one cow. They went into the detail of it to go and look for that specific cow, which obviously made it harder now for them to go and search for it. So after hearing all of this, that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam affirmed that, yes, it will be this color, it will be this age, it will be like that, it will be like this, according to their questions, they went now in search of it. And eventually they found this cow that belonged to this young boy. They went by him, they told him.
And this was the only cow that could fit the description.
Yes, the only cow in that entire locality, it was the only cow that could fit that description. And prior to this, the angel said that in the future, people will buy this cow equivalent to the amount of gold that can fit in its hide. So this boy, he waited till this time came now. And the people, Bani Israel, they came to him, its family members, came to this young boy and said that we want to buy this cow from you. So the young boy, he told them, okay, first see how much of gold can fit in its hide. The amount equivalent to that, I will sell it for you for that price. So obviously, they had no choice. They had to agree. They want to find the killer towards their family member. They had to pay the price. And so eventually, they paid the boy the price and they slaughtered the cow. They took its tongue over the bone of its tail. They struck that dead person. He resurrected back to life and he informed them, who killed me? And then they eventually they ended up finding out who the killer was. And they had justice sorted out and whatnot. On the other hand, this young boy, from having nothing, now in a period of time, he became so wealthy that all of that, imagine how much of gold can fit into the hide of that cow. And now he became one of the wealthiest people of that locality. And all of this happened due to his father, due to his mother, and due to him also placing their trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from this we see that when a person is patient, when a person places their trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then many, many doors open that a person did not even perceive, did not even think of, but those doors open up due to only having trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahu Akbar. So yes, the possibilities are endless, subhanallah. The father entrusted the calf in the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he kept that trust for him.
Yeah.
And then the child in return, he got that inheritance. And look at how their life gotten sorted out.
It changed.
Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah.
Yes. The blessing of placing our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that we need to learn. And in this age of technology and materialism, where we are relying on external things more and more, instead of having our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is where our failure is. Yes, use the resources. They're not going anywhere. But have placed your trust not in the resources, place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's more the reason, you know, why some people may get depressed or more stressed out in life when they find that I've had so much of hope in my vehicle, for example, and my vehicle gave up. And they sit now having no vehicle and they sit depressed because they have, you know, trained their mind to be dependent on that materialistic wealth, which is the vehicle. Same can go for any other materialistic object in this world or item in this world. But on the other hand, if a person just uses them as they are supposed to be used, and if it has to be taken away from them, then the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do not get despondent over it. They do not cry over it. They do not get sad over it because they know that at the end of the day, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who provides for me. Allah ta'ala gave me this. Allah ta'ala took it back. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is there to take care of me. My aim and purpose must be to place my trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if we have to say that something apparently bad happens in someone's life, even then too, a person must place their trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If something good happens, still a person must place their trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You know, a true believer is he who doesn't change like the weather.
100%.
Right. Some days will be good, some days will be bad.
Yeah.
But a true believer, his faith must remain unshaken.
Subhanallah. Unwavering, no matter what the situation may be.
Exactly.
But still, that trust, it takes, as we say, tawakkal to Allah. it takes a person a very, very long way in life. Sometimes something bad may happen. A person may just break down, and then he would lose all hopes, all his ambitions, all that he had on his bucket list to do, what he wants to achieve. All of that would break down just on one thing that happened bad in his life. You know, imagine if he didn't break down on that, and he placed his trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would have gotten so much more than what he lost. You know, because a person has to understand that everything that a person has, the wealth a person has, the commodities of this world that a person has, all of that was given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of it can be taken away by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person has this mindset, that it shows us nothing belongs to us. Nothing really belongs to us. We just have it entrusted to us for us to take care of it. So with that being in our mind and with that being said, it shows us that no matter what we have in life, whether we have a lot, whether we have less, we still have to place our trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the day a person doesn't have nothing, Allah ta'ala is still there to take care of such a person. You know, like like when Musa alayhi salam was walking, and Allah ta'ala commanded him to strike the rock, and he struck the rock. When he struck that rock, there was another rock in it. So Allah ta'ala commanded him to strike that rock as well. He struck it, and there was a third rock. Allah ta'ala then commanded him to strike that rock as well. The third rock, when he struck it, he found a small worm inside there. And that was, in that worm, it had a food particle in its mouth. And this worm, Allah Ta'ala granted Musa alayhi salam the ability to hear what this worm was saying. And this worm was glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So imagine, Allah Ta'ala is providing for such a creature that was within a rock, within a rock, within a rock, within three rocks, is a small worm with a food particle in its mouth. I mean, that goes to show that even if a person has nothing, Allah Ta'ala is still there to provide for us, provided that we place our trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. So many examples are there, subhanallah. The example of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allahu Akbar. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil, we say. That was the teaching of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. That is, alhamdulillah, documented in the glorious Quran.
Yes.
Allahu Akbar. That we say Allah is sufficient for us. And He is the caretaker of our issues. Right? And hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Alhamdulillah, many of us, we recite it as a wazifa, as a litany, as an invocation. And when times are bad, just as Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam placed his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was being thrown in the fire, yet his trust wasn't broken. His reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was still just as strong. It never affected him that the fire that is lit up for so many days, it is so huge that if a bird flies over it, it gets engulfed by the fire. This is how high the flames of that fire were. It was lit for many, many days. And here, even if somebody lights a lighter, we wouldn't dare go close to it. So, subhanallah, this was the trust of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And these pious bondmen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Mahasab mentioned the accounts of this man of Bani Israel, the pious man who entrusted the calf in the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanallah, nothing happened to it. It was in the wild. You get lion, you get leopard, you get cheetah, you get tigers, you get all sort of wild animals, hyenas and so on, that all can eat up that calf they could have. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept it protected for years until this boy grew up and became an adult. Subhanallah. The Shair says, Sayyidi, Fanus ban ke jiski hifazat hawa kare, وہ شمع کیا بجھے جسے روشن خدا کرے.
سبحان اللہ.
Meaning that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when something's protection is in the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then even the wind becomes a barrier to shield the flame. Subhanallah, of the candle.
Subhanallah.
And that candle can never go off, which has been in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And mashallah, this we learn from these parables, from these accounts of the pious predecessors, the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the accounts of previous nations, even that count, subhanallah, the Bani Israel. A lot of things happen in the time of Bani Israel, and some good things, some bad things. And these are the examples for us to take nasiha from, for us to take lesson. They are not just mentioned like that. You know, their accounts are mentioned in the glorious Quran. Their accounts are mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the books of the pious predecessors. Subhanallah. Why? Because we also similar nation like them. They were the nations of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and many other prophets came among them, as many as, according to some narrations, about 70,000 prophets were sent towards Bani Israel. And subhanAllah, we are the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell us the stories of Bani Israel, their parables. So we take a lesson from it. The accounts are mentioned in the Holy Quran for the same reason. So we take a lesson from it. We contemplate over it. And inshallah azza wa jal, these some examples we have in this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, many great awliya Allah, pious predecessors, unwavering faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the face of trouble and difficulties. So when we have a reaction to a situation, when we are reacting to a situation, we need to remind ourselves, catch ourselves in the moment, that I'm reacting to a situation that's not really as bad. Maybe momentarily it may disturb you, you know, mentally. But if you look at it in the long run, if you apply your mind to it, then it's not really be all and end all. There's more to life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has taken it away, if we were to bear patience over it, and we say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that thing which we have lost, it will be replaced by something similar or by something even better.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Yes. So we need to place our reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we lose someone or some things, we say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And some of us who don't understand the meaning of it really, we feel, oh, it's just some sentence of condolence.
When someone passes away,
yes,
I say that.
It is not a sentence of condolence. It is something for us to instill and to give a boost to our own faith.
Yes.
And to console ourselves, it is our own hearts, that indeed we all belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one day we will all have to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not saying the same thing as, you know, I'm so sorry for your loss. It's not the same as that. So when we hear the next time someone say, or when we utter these words which are mentioned in the glorious Quran, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, we must know and feel it deep down our hearts, and that will inshallah azza wa jal boost our reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah. Also, Master, you know, you've mentioned this, it's so interesting that we should actually make it a habit, you know, of saying inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, whether something good happens in our life, whether something bad happens in our life. You know, we give this reaffirmation to ourselves that only to Allah do we belong, and to Him is our return. And with this, as you've mentioned, it gives us that boost, you know, to do more good and for us to place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if you look at Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, the story that you've mentioned, him being thrown into the fire, and how his level of trust was in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even Jibreel alayhi salam came to him, but he said, no, my Rabb, Allah ta'ala, He knows of my situation, He knows what state I am in, He will be there to help me. This was his level of trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other hand, we have his beloved son, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. When he was being laid down in order for Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam to slaughter him due to the dream that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam had. And what was his response? This now is between a father and a son. And when we look at it closely, we find that his son didn't say, how could you? You know, his son did not refute it, did not rebuke it. His son was not even aggressive. Rather, when he was being laid there, you know, his Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, he said, Satajiduni inshallah min as-sabirin, that, oh my father, soon you will find me, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, amongst those who are patient. He was ready to sacrifice his life according to the dream of his father, which came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was the test of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. It was the test of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, whether they are going to submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here we see that both father and son, they submitted to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they placed their trust ultimately in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person is under, again it comes down to it, when a person is under even the hardest of situations, but when the person says, Tawakkaltu ala Allah, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, then you would find help coming from places you would think, where did this help come from?
Allah.
Where did that come from? Where did this money come from? Where did it all come from? It all came from a person saying, Ya Allah, I place all my trust in you. Ya Allah, you are the caretaker of all the affairs that I go through. When a person does this, then they would see wonders happening in their life.
Subhanallah, inshallah. Subhanallah, mashallah. Yes, and this is the reality. Masab, you also mentioned that a person must get into the habit of saying Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. More often, we think it's only when a person passes away. No, actually, it's mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that one day the lamp that was burning, it went off. So when the lamp went off, it became dark. So the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.
Subhanallah.
And then upon that, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, every little thing that hurts a believer's heart is a musibah.
Subhanallah.
And we are commanded in the Holy Quran, whenever a musibah approaches you, whenever a problem, calamity, situation approaches you, then you must recite. You know, قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Subhanallah. And mashallah, you've also mentioned Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. He's falling into the fire and his trust doesn't fail him. And the shayr, that moment he said something, and in Arabic it is documented in the narrations. One shayr, one poet, he translated those words in poetry and he says, Janta hai mera Rabbi Qadir, aag mein girta hai ab uska khalil. That my Rabb knows that Khalil is falling into the fire. And that's sufficient for me.
Allah.
That's in his, it's in his knowledge. Another shayr says about the faith of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, what if we could have the same faith? He says, even if today someone were to have that faith, it will be remarkable. He says, aaj bhi ho jo Ibrahim sa ima paida. Even if today someone can have the iman like Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, aag kar sakti hai andaaz-e gulista paida, the fire can still become cool.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Subhanallah. So, it all depends whether, what is our level of trust, our tawakkul, our reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our unwavering faith in Allah azza wa jal, and therein lies the crux of the matter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this wealth of tawakkul in Allah azza wa jal. Ameen, bijahi nabiyil ameen. Alhamdulillah, we have, mashallah, a wonderful kalam for us to listen to. And this kalam is near and dear to our hearts. And I think I know Maasab, and he is in his knowledge and he's smiling. That is proof
Inshallah.
That he knows which kalam we are going to listen to, right? So let's inshallah break the ice and remove the suspense. It is the kalam, subhanAllah, written by Huzur Mufti Azam Hind, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. As-salam, ya Nabi.
Subhanallah.
Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ala
Muhammad.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
As-salam, ya Nabi. As-salam, ya Nabi. As-salam, ya Nabi. Ya Nabi, as-salam. As-salam, ya Nabi. As-salam, ya Nabi. Ya Nabi, as-salam.
रब के प्यारे राज दुलारे तुम हो हमारे हम हैं तुम्हारे रब के प्यारे राज दुलारे तुम हो हमारे हम हैं तुम्हारे ऐ दामाने रहमत वाले तुम पर लाखों सलाम
अस्सलाम या नबी अस्सलाम या नबी अस्सलाम या नबी या नबी अस्सलाम अस्सलाम या नबी अस्सलाम या नबी या नबी अस्सलाम
दे दिए तुमको अपने खजाने रब्बे इज्जत रब्बे उलाने दे दिए तुमको अपने खजाने रब्बे इज्जत रब्बे उलाने दोनों जहां की नेमत वाले तुम पर लाखों सलाम अस्सलामु
अलैहि Mustafa, Mustafa, Manba'u lis-safa, Sayyidul Anbiya, Mish'alun fil-wafa, Kastafiyat fihi, Lil-yatha madifa.
Mustafa, Mustafa, Manba'u lis-safa, Sayyidul Anbiya, مشعل في الوفا كان في يطفيه لليتامى دفا حن قلبي له فاض شوقا إلي ليس أرجو سوى شربة من يدي الصلاة علي والسلام علي للسماء تقى فأتى بالنقى وغدا وجهه نيرا مشرقا وغدا وجهه نيرا مشرقا عرش علا پر رب نے بلایا اپنا جلوہ خاص دکھایا ہے سفارا سب حور و ملک اور غلمہ خلد سجاتے گئے ایک دوم گئے عرش اعظم پر مہمان خدا کے آتے ہیں عرش علا پر رب نے بلایا اپنا جلوہ خاص دکھایا خلوت والے جلوت والے تم پر لاکھوں سلام
قمرون 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 سیدنا النبی قمرون وجمیل سیدنا النبی وجمیل
وكف المصطفى كالورد نادي
الله الله
وعطرها يبقى إذا مست أيادي
الله الله
وكف المصطفى كالورد نادي
الله الله
وعطرها يبقى إذا مست آيادي وأما نبالغ كل العباد وأما نبالغ كل العباد وأما نبالغ كل العباد حبيب الله يا خير البرايا سيدنا النبي قمر وجميل سيدنا النبي وجميل بو جهل العيك الما پڑتا دیکھا ہی نہیں اس نے شاہا سمت نبی بو جہل گیا آقا سے اس نے یہ کہا گر ہو نبی بتلاؤ ذرا میری مٹھی میں ہے کیا سمت نبی بو جہل گیا آقا سے اس نے یہ کہا گر ہو نبی بتلاؤ ذرا میری مٹھی میں ہے کیا آقا کا فرمان ہوا اور فضل رحمان ہوا مٹھی سے کنکر بولا لا الہ الا اللہ حسبی ربی جل اللہ ما فی قلبی غیر اللہ نور محمد صلی اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ بو جہل لئی کلمہ پڑھتا دیکھا ہی نہیں اس نے شاہا پردوں والی صورت والے تم پر لاکھوں سلام مولایا صلی وسلم دائماً ابداً على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا ربي صلي علي يا ربي سلم علي يا ربي صلي علي صلوات الله علي مولايا صلي وسلم دائماً أبداً على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم خواب میں اپنا جلوہ دکھاؤ نوری کو تم نوری بناؤ خواب میں اپنا جلوہ دکھاؤ نوری کو تم نوری بناؤ اے چمکیلی رنگت والے تم پر لاکھوں سلام السلام علیکہ یا رسول اللہ السلام عليك يا حبيبي يا نبي الله السلام عليك يا رسول الله السلام عليك يا حبيبي يا نبي الله يا رسول الله رقت عيناي شوقا ولطيبة ذرفت عشقا فأتيت إلى حبيبي فاهدأ يا قلب ورفقا صلي على محمد السلام عليك يا رسول الله السلام عليك يا حبيبي يا نبي الله السلام عليك يا رسول الله السلام عليك يا حبيبي يا نبي الله يا رسول الله أنت نور الله فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا
ربنا لك قدرا يا ختام الأنبياء أيها المختار فينا زادنا الحب حنينا جئتنا بالخير دينا يا ختام المرسلين يا حبيبي يا رسول الله يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وسلم. Welcome back, dear viewers, subhanAllah, and you are watching the program Dimensions of Islamic Life. And in today's episode, we were just discussing before we went for the kalam, unwavering faith in Allah Azza wa Jal. SubhanAllah, we have mentioned many parables and different narrations, some Quranic parables as well, mashallah. Together with that, the teachings of the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this regard. Let's inshallah Azza wa Jal now listen to some more beautiful ahadith of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to having trust and faith in Allah Azza wa Jal. The importance of absolute trust in Allah Azza wa Jal has been stated in many places in the blessed ahadith. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to place our absolute trust and faith in Allah Azza wa Jal in different ways. The noble Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that if you trust and have tawakkul in Allah Azza wa Jal as he ought to be trusted, he will bestow sustenance upon you just as he bestows upon a bird, because it goes out with empty stomach in the morning and returns with full stomach in the evening.
Subhanallah.
In another hadith, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that Allah Azza wa Jal bestows four things upon only His beloved bondmen. Number one, silence, and it is the beginning of worship. Number two, absolute trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. Number third, humbleness, humility. And the fourth, uninterested in the world, that he is uninterested in the world. SubhanAllah. So he's ascetic at the same time. MashaAllah.
SubhanAllah.
So one of those things is absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states that the person who likes to become the strongest among the people should place absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the one who likes to become respectable in the age should become pious, and the one who likes to become the wealthiest amongst all people should trust that Allah Azza wa Jal has more than what he has. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, Allahu Akbar. So yes, this is what we learn from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it should encourage us, should motivate us, it should inspire us to have more reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Viewers, do we know what happens? What is the miracle? It is something miraculous. Miraculous things happen when we place our trust, absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was sitting with his companions, and many people, they came and went. And suddenly, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu noticed a person passing by with his son, who looked identical to his father. Usually you have father and son looking identical, almost.
Right.
But not so much of resemblance, you know. They will look kind of like the father, certain features, facial features they'll have. For them to be recognized as, you know, okay, this child went on the father, you know. Like how people talk in the families. Okay, right. The child is born, all right, who he looks like? He looks more like the father, or maybe sometimes people may say, oh, he looks more like the mother, right? So, alhamdulillah, similar thing, right? But it is very rare that you will find the child looking exactly like, almost identical to the father. That's very rare. So this is one of those rare occasions. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he noticed that the son, he is looking almost identical to the father. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is something phenomenal.
Right.
So the great leader, the subhanallah, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he called the person and he asked him, O servant of Allah, both of you are so identical that, you know, doesn't even exist between two crows. Even two crows don't look the same as you both look right. The same. And the person said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, by Allah, he was given birth by his mother after she had passed away.
Allahu Akbar.
His mother gave birth to him after she passed away. How does that happen? This is now a phenomenon. And there's a very interesting story behind it. And then he narrates, hearing this shocking statement, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he sat upright to listen to, you know, when somebody tells you something very interesting, you
get to know what
you set your composure and you want to, you all ears, right? Okay, I want to hear it. So he sat upright and asked him to explain the entire incident. What happened? Why do you say that? So he said that, the fact of the matter is I once decided to go on an expedition in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, my wife was heavily pregnant at the time. Mm. And the time of birth, the time of labor was very near. But I still went in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She then said to me, I am, as you can see, I'm heavily pregnant. And I cannot even walk easily. So she expressed her concerns. And then she said, in this state, in whose safety and protection are you leaving me? So he said, I replied to my wife. I said to my wife, my response was, the child which is in your womb, I leave it in the divine protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
And then I left everything in the divine power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I left the child in the divine power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and departed for the expedition in the path of Allah. He says, when I returned after some time, I noticed that the door of my house was locked. And when I inquired further as to what happened, why is my house locked up? I was told that my wife had died and that she was now under the divine mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah.
I then visited her grave and sat for a while at her qabr. And then when it was the time of the night, I retired to the house of my cousin living nearby this graveyard. During the night, while we sat together and spoke, I mentioned the piety and other good qualities of my wife to them. Her grave was also in front of us. Suddenly, I saw flames appearing from it in between these graves and asked my cousin about it. Wow, what is happening? Why the flames are emerging from the graves? And they replied that they had seen these flames appearing every night close to my wife's grave.
Allah.
When I heard this, I decided that I will definitely open this grave to see as to what is happening. I then decided to dig the grave. And when I dug the grave, what I saw was totally shocking. I saw that the grave was already opened and there was a small boy playing next to his dead mother.
Allah, Allah.
Suddenly a voice was heard that you had placed this child in the divine custody of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you had placed your wife also in the divine care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she would also be living today as the child
Allah,
is alive.
Allah,
subhanallah. Then he says, I then picked up the child and the grave closed on its own. Mu'min al-Mu'mineen, this is the same child which you are seeing today.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Those who were present were extremely astonished at what they had listened to. Subhanallah. And obviously their trust and certainty in Allah Azza wa Jal became firm and steadfast.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah. What a beautiful story, Masa. You know, it's so, so inspiring. And this actually, you know, it tells us and actually increases of how much of, you know, trust we need to have and should have upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, there was another very beautiful incident as well, wherein Sayyidina Abu Hamza Khurasani rahimahullah, he says that once I went for Hajj and I was returning home. As I was returning home, I fell into a well. I fell in there by mistake. And my nafs asked me to call out for help. But I replied that, you know what, I will never call out for help to anyone, you know. So as this was happening, two people, they appeared above the well. And they said, you know what, no one can fall in this well. And, you know, anyone who's walking, they can see it. So they thought, those two men, they said that no one is in this well, no one can fall in this well. What they did, they covered the entrance of this well with sticks and grass, and they left me alone in this well. I wanted to scream at the time when I saw them, but what happened was I thought that I would never do this and I would simply rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While I was in the state, I saw that suddenly one leg appeared, right? And this leg, it appeared on top of the well. So this person said that, hold on to the leg. So I held on to the leg, and when I did that, I appeared outside the well. So with the help of this leg, I ended up coming out of this well. And when I came out, I saw that this wasn't a human leg. This was the leg of a wild animal, which I held. And suddenly I heard a voice say to me that, oh, Abu Hamza, is it not strange that you were saved by an animal who is also your enemy?
Allah.
Subhanallah. And so this is, you know, the reward of reliance, that when we place our trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then from means which we cannot perceive, sources which we cannot think of, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes there.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. It is so amazing, Sayyidi, and I wish we could continue. But time is always of the essence. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, in some other episode, we will discuss it at
inshallah.
Length. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Until then, keep reciting Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib,
sallallahu ala Muhammad,
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.